Hi, yeah, I'm Joel. I'm the assistant minister here. I'll be reading the second reading. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. It's on page 1196. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for your word we have in our hands. And thank you that you have sustained your church for 2,000 years ago, and you are sustaining us as a church thus far. We pray that even your word would minister to us, that we would continue to believe in the truths in the Scriptures and desire to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of 2 Timothy. The last time we looked at the book of 2 Timothy, we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. In those verses, Paul taught us that the last days are terrible days. The last days in the Bible refers to the time period between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. So Paul was warning Timothy that he's living in those terrible times. Therefore, he needs to avoid certain people. What made the last days terrible, if you look down in chapter 3, verse 2, Paul says it was people. And in verse 5, Paul specifies clearly that these people will have a form of godliness. So they get to enter into the lives of church people who once were part of the churches Paul had established. They have done some serious damage. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, everyone in the province of Asia had deserted Paul. However, Paul warns Timothy not to be ashamed of him, who is now suffering in prison, nor be ashamed of testifying about Jesus. Paul was encouraging Timothy to continue to fulfill his calling as a Bible teacher in these terrible times, when false teachers who have a form of godliness have found great success. We also saw last time how we also live in these terrible times, when it's very difficult to differentiate between a true Bible-believing church from a church led by false teachers. Partly it's because there is no one who goes around promoting, I'm a false teacher, come and learn from me. That's not how it works. Everyone has some form of godliness. We look at their long robes. We look at their religious titles, bishops, apostles, pastors, and so on. Their Bible teaching is followed by millions on social media, and we are so proud of it. In this kind of context, Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's saying, avoid those people, but you got to continue in a certain way. And how can Timothy continue to be part of a Bible-based church that Paul had established? It is the same question that we have in our lives. We have started to live lives in a Bible-based church. What will keep us going? What will sustain us in believing in the same teachings that we have believed for many years? Paul highlights two things that would help Timothy, and I believe we can also learn from it so that we too can continue to thrive in a Bible-based church. I base my talk on 2 points. So the first point is, be willing to imitate godly people in our lives. It's from verse 10 to 14. So be willing to imitate godly people that we know in our lives. So yeah, so following people comes quite naturally for us. And in social media, you can see people follow celebrities and politicians and so many different people. Nowadays, people have millions of followers. And the kind of people we follow tells a little bit about ourselves as well. What do we really value? Do we value someone who has good looks? Do we value someone who has a lot of money to show off with their big houses and big private jets and so on? Or do we value people who are good public speakers? We value something, that's why we value following certain people. We wear the same clothes that they wear because they are very talented. That could be the case. And we act the way they act, talk the way they talk, and imitate them. It comes naturally for us because we are people who follow others. That's how life works. But if you look in this passage, think about the social media. Think about a person who has lost most of the people in the church and is in prison at the moment. And think about a housewife or a grandma who is dependent on her daughter and the grandson to live for her living. How many people follow these kind of people on social media? But that's the kind of people Paul is asking Timothy to follow. So if you see, Paul has already warned, like I mentioned earlier in the chapter, chapter 3, Paul has said, Timothy, you know the false teachers. They are out there. In verses 2 to 5, Paul says, they are people who have a form of godliness, but they are actually lovers of money, they are lovers of themselves, and lovers of pleasure. Paul has warned Timothy that he doesn't have to do anything with these kind of people because they don't have anything to do with good and they have no desire to love God. But in these last days, these kind of people are around. But Paul says, but you also have me around. Paul says in verse 10, you, however, if you look down verse 10, he says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience. Paul said, you know all about my teaching and character. What did Paul mean? How did this happen? How did Timothy know all about Paul? It's because later on when you go home, if you look at Acts chapter 16, in verse 3, it says, Paul chose Timothy to join him in his missionary journeys. So Timothy was living together with Paul in foreign countries. They both have carried out missionary activities together. Timothy had many opportunities to observe Paul's life and learn from close quarters. That's how Timothy knew all about Paul and his teachings. Then in verse 11, Paul goes on to talk about persecutions and suffering, all that he endured. Paul was stoned at times. Other times he was beaten and imprisoned. Paul faced a lot of pressure, and he had every excuse to compromise on his godly life or to not fulfill his calling as a Bible teacher. However, instead of giving in or giving up, Paul relied on God's power through the Holy Spirit to continue living a godly life and fulfill his calling. Paul acknowledges that God's power was the one that helped him to endure the persecutions. If we can see in verse 11, he says that, look down verse 11, it says, yet the Lord has rescued me from all of them. So Paul was facing all kinds of struggles and persecutions to let go of being godly or to fulfill his calling. But by relying on God, he was able to keep on going, being a godly living a godly life and fulfilling a calling. And then when we read verse 12, Paul says something very radical. Paul says that it's just not him. Everyone who wants to live a godly life, that's you and me as well, will be persecuted. Now, persecution comes in different forms. For some, it may be having to face death for their faith. For others, it may be losing a friend just because your Christian beliefs do not align with their lifestyle. Either way, as Christians, we need to be aware of this truth. Being a follower of Jesus comes with a cost. And knowing this truth ahead of time will prepare us for any suffering we face and help us rely on the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to help us persevere. But if we are ill-prepared and try to endure in our own strength, we will do whatever we can to escape pain. This option is deadly for our souls. For us, John Calvin says, they who wish to be exempt from persecutions must necessarily renounce Jesus Christ. Paul not only highlights his life as a role model to Timothy to follow, but he also highlights Timothy's mother and grandmother as a role model to follow. We see that in verse 14 when he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So for Timothy, someone has taught him right from the infancy about the Holy Scriptures, and he knows those people. He knows his mother and the grandmother as being good godly role models to follow. We see that in verse 14. And he says, continue in what you have learned from your grandma and your mom. So grandma, earlier in the first chapter, the grandma's name is Lewis, and Timothy's mother's name is Eunice. And Paul says, you two know the kind of people you learned the scriptures from infancy, don't you, Timothy? They are very godly people. Timothy would have known that. You know, Timothy would have lived in the same house and witnessed the lives of his mother and grandmother for at least 2 decades. You would have seen them facing different pressures of life, but still chose to live a godly life. So how is it relevant to our lives? Who do you follow? Who do you try to imitate? Who do you dress like and act like? Do you know any Christian who, amidst the daily pressures of life, still chose to live a godly life? Maybe it could be your Christian sibling who has made a conscious decision to never watch pornography or use his screen time in a godly way. Do you have a Christian friend you have seen in school who makes a conscious decision never to swear or use his mouth in an ungodly way? Or do you know your dad or your mom not giving in to selfish desires, being boastful, but choosing to be humble, being someone who is quick to forgive, making time to care for others, praying for others, and being hospitable to others? Those who rely on God's power to live a godly life on a daily basis, do you know any one of them? Do you follow them? If you're struggling in those areas of Christian life that I mentioned, now take a time to hang around your Christian sibling or a friend in school or your mom or your dad and ask them a few questions. You know, like how do you handle your pressures and temptations of life? How do you never compromise on your godly living? Yeah, no one is perfect, but people you will know who are genuine Christians and who are seeking to live a godly life. Do you follow them? And there is also opportunities available in the church, you know, to be part of midweek growth groups, Wednesday church, men's breakfast, or women's Bible studies. By doing life together, you can absorb, you know, you can observe others, you know, learn, and you can imitate those who live godly lives. Just like how Paul encouraged Timothy to imitate him, his mom, and his grandmother, who despite all the challenges, chose not to compromise on godly living. Why? It's because Timothy is surrounded by these false teachers who are very ungodly and easily captivate people who live in Bible-based churches. So firstly, yeah, those, if you want to continue being part of a God, part of a Bible-based church, we need to be willing to imitate godly people in our lives. And secondly, we need to have a high view of the scriptures as Paul had. So we need to continue to believe in all the Bible teaching, which we see in verses 14 to 17. Continue to believe in all the teachings of the Bible. So in verse 16, Paul says scripture is God-breathed. So there is a close connection between breath and words. You can try a simple experiment. You know, put your hand close to your mouth and try to speak words without breath coming out of your mouth. It won't be possible, as they are closely associated. It's not just in these kind of simple experiments, but also in the Bible, we see that God's word and God's breath are closely associated. It is seen here in this chapter, in verse 16, where it says scripture, which means the written words of God in the Bible, or God-breathed. Paul says these written words in the Bible is God-breathed. In other words, every word in the Bible is from God, even though it is written by human authors. Like we have seen, this book is written by Paul, but still it is God-breathed words that given for the church. Scriptures are breathed out by God for a specific reason, for us to obey, as they are the authoritative words of God. The Bible is the instrument that God uses to make us as new creation in Christ by the power of the Spirit. As Jesus puts it, we are born again into Jesus' kingdom by the power of God. New people in Christ, born again. It is the power of the Bible. Paul claims in 2 Timothy 3, it is such a bold claim that neither the Quran, nor the Bhagavad Gita, nor any other religious books or secular books can exhibit such power. Nor the book that we read in this world is God-breathed. That's why Paul can say, this book alone can bring people to be wise and to salvation. So you can see that in verse 15, Paul says that this is the Holy Scriptures, or the ones which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So if you're not a Christian, this is something you should think about, that the Bible is God-breathed. And it is useful to bring you into salvation through your faith in Jesus Christ. So yeah, the Bible is not something which will save you. But in the Bible, we learn about Jesus Christ. In the Bible, we learn about the true Jesus Christ. And we know what Jesus has done from the scriptures for human race to be in a right relationship with God. So it's through knowing Jesus Christ from the Bible that we can have the power to be one of God's people. We can understand that if we repent of our sins, if we turn to Christ and say sorry to Him, we too can be one who belong to God our Father. That's what Paul claims about the Bible, that it has such a power to bring people to salvation. And notice also in verse 16, Paul did not say some of the scriptures God breathed and has power, but he says all scripture is God breathed and has power. And this has important implications. You know, it means that the Bible-believing church should not cherry-pick which part of teaching would they like to teach in order to have a wider audience. You can't say, okay, certain part of scripture looks like teaching about health and wealth. I'm just going to teach on that. And certain part of teachings are quite challenging. Okay, these teachings about hell, Jesus being the only way to God, or teachings about suffering and persecution, I'm just going to reject them. Because I know if I talk about these, then not many people are going to turn up in my church. These are difficult to... there are teachings in the Bible which are difficult to listen to, or even more difficult to follow and obey. But as a follower of Christ, we need to honor and obey these teachings if we seek to honor God. Because it says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 2, God says, I esteem the one who trembles at my word. Anyone, God says, who trembles at my word also trembles at God. That's how important it is. If you look at the scripture and think, I'm not going to honor this part of the scripture, and what are you telling God is, I'm not going to honor you the way you want me to honor you. So we saw that all the words in the Bible are indeed God-breathed, and we need to honor God by honoring all the teachings in the scriptures. But also, in moving on in verses 16 and 17, Paul emphasizes here that the Bible is something that will equip a man of God for every good work. In the Bible, Moses, Elijah, and Elisha were all mentioned as man of God. Here when Paul says man of God, he's referring to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor and a Bible teacher in a local church. And Paul says, the books in the Bible will be all sufficient for him to carry out his pastoral duty of teaching and correcting and rebuking people, so people, everyone in this congregation can live a godly life. He says, the Bible is all sufficient for you. You don't need to go after the false teachers and say, and look into their teachings. Oh, maybe if I learn something new from them, can I help my congregation lead a godly life? Paul says that's not needed. All you need to do is to focus on understanding the teachings of the Bible rightly and teach it to the members of the congregation. Paul understands the Bible will be sufficient for the people of God to live a godly life. Not only the Bible is important for teaching and training others in righteousness, it is also important for Timothy's personal godly life. If Timothy continues to allow the Bible teaching to correct his understanding about this world, about life, his godly conduct, that the Bible will also enable him to lead a godly life. So, just to conclude, do you have godly people in your life? Do you know someone? Do you imitate godly people because you take living a godly life seriously? And how about your view about the Bible? Is it the same as what Paul has? That all scriptures are God-breathed. They have the power to bring anyone to a right relationship with God. The Bible has the power to train anyone to live a godly life. Is that your view about the Bible? If that is so, and if you believe that all Bible teaching is essential for all of us, and it's God-breathed, do we seek to obey every word and honor God? While it may be challenging, as we all, in some way or other, do sinful things, we need to seek God's help through the Holy Spirit. And we need to allow the Bible to teach us, to rebuke us, correct us and train us in godly living so that in the last days we might not get caught up with the false teachers. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people you have given in our lives. Thank you for their efforts to live a godly life. Help us to work along with other people. Help us to watch them and learn from them. Help us to rely on you and the power that comes from you to keep on going, living a godly life in the midst of all the trials and temptations we face in this world. Father, we also thank you for the scriptures we have in our hands. Thank you for the people in the church history who has fought so hard for the scriptures to be translated in the language we know and to be available in our hands. We live in a day and age when we have the Bible in our hands. Thank you for the nature of the scriptures, that it's God breathed and it has the power to bring people into salvation and to train them to live a godly life till the coming of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would take the scriptures seriously and to shape our lives according to the scriptures. Please help us all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.